Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for personal care. If you have or you suspect you might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of this radio show or their sponsors.
Jody Lynn. Listeners, I want to give you a big welcome and take this time to thank you for tuning in, being present, and most importantly, for your listening support. We hope to be a big support system in your healing journey and look forward to bringing you a great show today. Animals and how they support us and how we can support them. With us, I have the man of the hour, creator of the Etana Method. He is a man of many talents. Author, musician, healer, teacher, and those are only to name a few. But what makes him unique is Etana put life tools together for your healing journey called the Etana Method. You can access these tools in so many ways. To let you know, you just heard music by Etana. To name a few, his website, which I always give out before and after the breaks, there's YouTube, Amazon, Facebook, or call him. This guy is amazing. And now we have the pleasure each week of hearing him on this program apply, discuss his methods and the tools that can help you. So stay tuned in and then check him out after the show. First, I want to get the man of the hour to say hello. And then I have some special guests. All the way from Australia, we have Miss Anna and our one and only Saber. Later, bring in Carol, who will be chiming in with us. And as promised, Etana, I want to bring you on to say hello to your listeners. Etana.
Hello, wonderful beings. Hello, wonderful Anna. Hello, wonderful Julian. Hello, wonderful Saber. And hello, wonderful angels.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Anna, Saber, you have a big hello for our listeners today.
Hi, everybody. I'm really excited to talk about this topic today. Hi, Etana, sending you so much love. I've been watching, like, lots of information has been coming to me via social media and lots of places. And I really wanted to talk about this topic today of nature and animals. So I can't wait because I know it's very dear to your heart, and people have pets. People have animals that live close by them in trees and bushes. I'd love to hear from you about why animals and nature are so healing and what we can also do to support them.
I love the animal totems and the animal beings. And if you really look at the Native American Indian animal totems, you can identify even when you see how a person works with their energies in their life, what animal totem they're related to. One person has like the energy of a horse being. They run like the horses. One has the energy of the dog being. They serve. They're more into the service industry. You have the cat beings related to the humans. And the energy of the animals is also as the so-called spirit animals. They support us basically living our lives and being fully able to apply ourselves to this life and to life's challenges. And sometimes we get the support of a specific animal to support us getting to the crisis situations in our lives. I truly came to appreciate the animal beings on my healing journey. because they were so helpful in so many phases in my life that I really am truly grateful for the experience.
Mm. So when you say animal totems, are you talking about animal, I mean, can you describe that a little bit more? Because some of us are not quite clear what a totem is.
Yeah, well, a totem is like a symbol, like the an animal symbol that you're associating yourselves with. If you look at countries, for example, the United States, they associate themselves with an eagle. Or you have other countries that utilizing the eagle energy. You have other countries that work with different animal totems. You work with, you look at the even Native American Indian tribes. They associate even like the crows, or even the names. They associate to the animals, to the animal energy. Even look at mixed martial arts. Even look at yoga, downward facing dog, upward facing dog, cat, cow. These are all animal totems that we're tapping into because they are resembling this for us, and we can tap into their dynamic energy stretches by connecting with that energy. I mean, we could just say tabletop, but we say cat, cow, and you go into like literally into instead of fixed parts, you say the dynamic energy of what is a cat, what is a cow resembles when they are in standstill, or even the roundhouse kicks in mixed martial arts in Taekwondo. They basically associate specific kicks even to animals, like to the mule that kicks out backwards, you know. And if you look at even Kung Fu, you have like even look at Karate Kid, like the crane, and even all these motions that we have seen from animals since the early times of humanity being on the planet. We took our cues from the animals because they had these dynamics uninterruptedly integrated in their daily lives as instincts. For example, they weren't thinking of which movement am I going to do. They had this one movement and they were doing it. If you're a cheater, you were running the fastest that you could. The antelope, the gazelle, it runs. And so if you look at the different dynamics of motion, then you can utilize the different animals as an energy integration, as a totem, as a example. And when you basically channel that energy, like very similar, like an actor or actress is casting a role, they're channeling that character. And when we tap into these animal totems, we are channeling them and we're becoming more agile, more flexible. We're flowing better with life.
Mm. And so are you suggesting that, let's just say somebody is needing a lot of strength in a certain place or time in their lives, that they think about an animal? How does somebody utilize that?
Actually, the animal being will come very naturally into our lives. When you are in a neutral space, the animals are our brothers and sisters. They will come and support us, even though we just love to eat them. They will come to us and they want to make our lives more effective. And they come with such a love and compassion and unconditional love to us that they give us the strength. You know, sometimes you have to have the strength of a buffalo. Sometimes you have to have the ferociousness of a grizzly bear. When you have to stand your ground, when you have to make your point, you know, sometimes you have to run. Sometimes you just have to run. There's no fight. You can't do it. You have to run. And it depends. In all these different dynamics, the animals have memorized these dynamics in the morphogenetic field of the planet. So their energy was there before us. And so they memorize that energy. So we can use their dynamic imprint and actually flow with it.
Yeah, that's amazing. It sounds incredible. Jody, I know that you were brought up on a farm and you lived and grew up really close to nature. How do you find now being away from a farm and away from nature?
Well, that's a good question, Anna. Thank you for asking. I think I speak for a lot of children who grew up on a farm and has decided to move to the city or get as far away from the farm as you possibly can because there has to be a better life out there. You don't realize that you had so much given to you. I never had been to a grocery store and had to shop for food. So it was quite a shock to see how much money you spend at a grocery store for the things that you learned to grow with your hands and watch grow. And you didn't realize how therapeutic that was to put your hands in that soil and to watch something grow and then to let it nourish your body and stay connected with the earth. Instead, you gave that up for having neighbors and noise and things that you had to grow accustomed to that I don't think our body was meant to endure. So getting away from the farm.
Did you have animals? Did you have animals at the farm?
Yes.
Did you have horses?
We had horses, pigs, cows. We were a self-sustaining farm. So we had about 48 acres and we grew all of our food, and the food that we didn't have, we would trade off with other farmers. So there was nothing that we were in need of. We might not have had a lot of money, but we did have anything that we wanted, any kind of berries, fruits, nuts. And I lived by the Amish too, so there was not a lot of interference with electricity and just so much of the noise that we have in the city, which is nice to be in the city, don't get me wrong, but the noise and the energy that you get from the city as opposed to the quiet of the farm, it just really shocked me in ways that I didn't think I would endure in the city. So getting back to the country or getting back to my roots was really healing and therapeutic at a time that I really needed it. And I guess I just didn't realize how much I would want it later on and how much I got so far from the quiet country life that I thought was boring and just wanted to run away from. I found myself longing for it later on in life.
Yeah, it's really interesting. At Hannah, there is this big park, I'm sure like many cities in the world, here in Melbourne that's called the Botanical Gardens. And I go down there and I go for a run or I go for a walk around it. And when I'm immersed myself in the gardens, something happens to me. I feel like I'm grounded. I feel like it's actually the greenery and the trees just take away so much of the stress from my body. I feel like it's such a healing, almost like a mothering, nurturing energy there. Can you talk a little bit to that?
Yes. When we are nature, we are basically harmonizing and realigning ourselves with the frequency of balance or the energy of harmony. If you look at the sacred geometry, then you see that everything that is alive or living is basically based on the Fibonacci sequence. The Fibonacci sequence goes 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21. It adds constantly the previous number to its growth process. And that's a form of evolution. But it also unfolds in a harmony. And when we are in the forest, or when we are in a place that is based on sacred geometry, or the Fibonacci sequence, like even the amazing cathedrals that you go into or the old temples, they have such a frequency that's uplifting and harmonizing. And when we go into nature, we also are connecting with the nature spirit, with the energy of the trees, with the energy of the plants, with the organism of the consciousness of the forest, or even the collective that's being put together. Because every plant even has a higher self. And then they start even... When you get into a certain harmony level, then you can start easily and effortlessly communicating with the nature and with the plants, and even sometimes with the butterflies, because you can sense and you can feel this is all a dynamic energy, a bioenergy, and that creates consciousness. And that consciousness you are connecting to, and that consciousness is based on harmony. Now, when you go sometimes in a crazy place of traffic, it doesn't feel like it makes any sense, because there's like all kinds of, there is some structure in it, but there's a lot of chaos. And if you would look from the bird's eye perspective, you would probably see some more dynamics and harmony. But if you go into nature right away, you're starting to harmonize your system, your heartbeat, your sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system starts aligning itself, and you're immediately drawing energy.
Mm.
Well, on that, we
I'm
will
just kidding,
be...
Yeah.
Oh, Ms. Sana, do you care if we take a short break?
Go.
Wonderful. Listeners, we're going to go ahead and take a short break. Make sure to come back with us to book a session or to join an online class. Don't forget to check out Atana on www.ATAANAMethod.com. We'll be back with you shortly. Today discusses animals, how they can help us and how we can help them. I have with me the creator of the Atana Method, Atana himself, featuring guests Anna and Saber. Thank you, listeners, for staying with us. Atana.
Yes.
Atana. Yes, we'd love to hear from you because you're like the star of the show. Have you got a story or anything you can share with us today about animals?
Yeah. Once I was invited to Montana, to the Island of Light, and I was doing some energizing and harmonizing on a property, and it was located on a 120-acre wild forest kind of land. And there was a lake, and one day I had like this weird argument with somebody that was like part involved with the lodge, with building the lodge, and so I kind of like was really upset and walked down to the lake and say, I'm just gonna cool down, I'm just gonna relax and just get that negative energy transformed. So I walk and make like a little curve towards the lake. And then in front of me, I just see, I see a stump, like a, you know, like a tree stump. And in that tree stump, there's like something. And I was like so self-absorbed with that argument that I had a little bit earlier. I didn't even see there was a snut from a black bear. So,
oh my gosh.
I'm basically running into a black bear. I'm so self-absorbed in that argument. I'm running into a black bear. It's about 2 feet in front of me, and then I have to take the curve towards the right. and I'm going straight at it. And so the bear stands all the way up on their on the back legs, and it's about like a head taller than I am. And I look at it.
Wow.
And then at this, at one point, I actually wanted to go and hug the bear because I felt like so, I felt like the bear is my brother, like a brother bear. And even though I was like in one moment, I was like super upset and in a really negative spin, all of a sudden there was the past and I felt like, oh my God, it's a bear. I mean, a fully intact, powerful, vibrant and wild bear. And what I saw, have you, when you look at that bear, everything is green around you, and all of a sudden you see like a black bear in front of you. That looks almost like a black hole in the universe, like in the Matrix. Always you see, all of a sudden you see like a black hole, and you see all the power that's coming through that bear into this dimension. It was like you could tell that's a powerful bear, right? So I'm like, at that moment, I'm thinking to myself, I really want to hug this bear. And I almost make a step forward towards the bear. And I'm not going right, actually. I'm turning like on my heels. I'm turning around and just walking back. And just before I actually met the bear, I felt my aura expanding. I felt like I'm getting bigger and bigger. And so the bear energetically detected me. And the bear stood up with me, and energetically I must have had like the same size or height of the bear, or higher or wider, because the bear looked all around me. I mean, it literally didn't look at me, it looked around me. And then I turned around, and every step that I took, I knew almost till up to the lodge, if I change my frequency into back into rage or anger, that bear is going to be able to get me. So I stood in this neutral space where I just, I was flabbergasted, but I stood in that energy for a moment of calm, harmony, and balance as I was walking back. Like everything was gone.
Mm.
My whole state changed into like neutralness, everythingness and nothingness. And every step that I took back to the lodge, I could tell like even 10 feet before the lodge, the bear still could get me if the bear wanted to, because they run really fast. And
wow,
I went,
that is an amazing story.
I went back to the lodge and I literally like broke down crying. And then I explained what happened. And the experience was so powerful that I wanted to dedicate like a fire and the drumming to that bear because I was so grateful. First of all, that bear, basically, it wasn't threatened or anything. It even had these arms halfway open. So it literally, I felt like the bear wanted to hug me. And I almost went to the bear and hugged it. But I turned around,
so
like I said.
Funny. I love it. Because it's kind of, you know what? I don't think I'd ever hear anybody else say that they wanted to hug the bear, but you know what? It makes perfect sense from you.
And I felt so kindred with the bear that I wanted to have a drumming for that bear. So I lived at a little octagon house, and so I created on the second floor a little drum, you know, like two different drums. I played with one drum, then the other drum, just as gratitude, right? And I, the week before, I built an outhouse that's like 40 feet away from the octagon that I live. And I actually walked in the middle. I walked down. You know, I had to go to the outhouse. And I had a friend there to celebrate with. And she said, "Well, I went to the outhouse, and I thought actually." That she was waiting at the outhouse when I was in there. Then I looked around and she wasn't there, and it felt really awkward. I felt like there's somebody there, but it wasn't her. After I came back, I realized that. And I looked you know, out on the second floor, I could look all around because there's like a deck outside. And actually the bear was leaned back with a back at the mountain. And, it was actually listening to the drumming.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it was like, I was like 40 or 50 feet away from it. So that's the same bear. And now comes really the kicker. I mean, that was like, there was something that I will never forget. Actually, a couple of days later, the bear was a bear mama. She brought me her cubs.
Oh.
And I could actually feed the cubs, the two cubs that she had.
Amazing.
That was so intense.
So,
the bear energy.
Oh my gosh.
I love these bears, you know, and I love nature and how we can be in harmony with these beings, even though we feel like we are threatened by them, you know, like people just want to kill all the sharks and people want to just get rid of everything that could be threatening because who knows what they're going to be doing when we invade their natural environment, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing story, and I'd love to talk a little bit more about that point, about, you know, why we do these harmful things to animals. Jodie, do we need to go on another break first, though?
We do. We'll be taking a short break. Thank you. Make sure, listeners, to come back with us, listen to more stories about the bear, the book a session, or join an online class. Don't forget to check out Atana on www.ataanamethod.com. Again for tuning in to Let's Talk Healing. Our program today discusses animals, how we can help them, and how they can help us. I have with me the creator of the Atana Method, Atana himself, with featured guest Anna Saber, and now we have Miss Carol with us. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in with us. Miss Saber, our one and only, we want to say hi. Thank you for coming on, and you have a little bit to say.
It's me, Saber. It's me. I have come here to teach you all so that I can bring messages too.
Who are you channeling, Saber?
Saber the bee says it's time to get organized and approach your projects with commitment and diligence.
Saber, I'd love to hear from you because I'm sure our listeners are also thinking there's some tragic things that happen to animals as well. You know, like, you know, you see every day some of the terrible methods that are used to kill animals or keep them in captivity. I'd love to hear if you have any thoughts on that.
Wow, that is you're pulling on my heartstrings right now. I want to teach you guys something that everyone can do to help animals. and you don't even have to see them to help them, okay? So everyone right now has a animal shelter somewhere near them or by them, okay? And when you think of the animal shelter or you drive by the animal shelter, I want you to send not the feelings of sadness or worry or dread. I want you to say, I'm going to send the most beautiful energy to the center where the animals are at. And what I like to do is I like to envision this rainbow ribbon. And the rainbow ribbon leaves my heart and it goes out into the universe. And it goes to the front doors of the animal center. And it wraps around every animal. And it goes through everyone that works there. And it wraps the building. And this, if we all do this, every time we go by an animal shelter, we will help those animals feel better while they are waiting to be adopted or worse. So if you would, please just try that for me. It has really changed the way that I think about driving by these shelters because it was so heartbreaking for me to even go by them or even be a mile from these places. And even the, my little children, they do the same thing now. And so we can help animals more than we know. We don't have to see them physically. We can surround them with beautiful rainbow blankets while they're going through traumatic times.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Because, you know, I think that we neglect them so much. Itana as well, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And
well,
what,
a lot of people.
And why is
have,
that?
We think about it when we have an animal being and it's not convenient. And often we feel like overwhelmed with it. I rather, though, when we feel we're overwhelmed, you know, connect with your internal ways of clearing before you get something else that kind of takes you off of your focus, and then it has a different need. Every being, even something that is not alive, has its own needs and requires attention, even if you have to dust it. Now think about a living being, an animal being, and these shelters, they are full of puppies and full of dogs and cats and beings that have been really brought back, you know, because they didn't feel that they could do it, or, you know, they had some issues with them that they made visible. They were too much for the people to handle and they didn't want to look at it.
So, Saba, have you got animals yourself?
I've got a whole kingdom of animals here. And I live on the side of a mountain. So I've got many, many animal visitors all day long. And I want to make this.
And do you find that they support you? Do you find that they energetically support you and all that nature? Do you really feel that and connect to that?
I wouldn't want to live without them. They bring such kindness and love and support to not only me, but my family, my home. Every time I see a deer running around my property, I say, thank you for charging my matrix. Thank you for making me so powerful. And I notice that every day, if something is happening, there will be a specific animal that'll come in, whether it's a deer or a possum or a skunk. My husband loves that. I take care of the skunks, the baby skunks. He loves that. And another thing I wanted to add, it doesn't have to, as I said before, it doesn't have to be a physical animal. You can hear a song with the word tiger in it, or your child comes home with a paper with a rat on it, right? Or somebody is talking about a horse that they rode yesterday, right? These little messages are from the animals too, and they come in all shapes and sizes. Imagine if they could tap into everything like the angelic divine beings. They do that, and they do it better than most angelic beings. They're awesome at it because, as Itana was saying, they're just so loving and so supportive and really want to grow with you. They know as you're growing, they're growing too, and that's they're in this game too, right? And so they want to ascend just like we are. And so they are much more gracious hosts than we are at this moment, unfortunately. But they are so willing to, if you will, play doubles with you while you kick the mask, right? They are also at helping you.
I love that. That's good.
thank you. Thank
Tana.
You.
Yeah.
I love that. Atana, do you think that when we all move into cities and we're surrounded by concrete and we're surrounded by buildings, it is natural just to forget nature and animals? It can be very easy. Have you got any suggestions then about how people, like other than just getting out into nature, because some people just can't, how can people immerse themselves back into this healing world?
I feel it's very easy. We have to start getting back, being grounded and connected with Mother Earth, and even connecting with the circadian rhythm, where sunrise and sunset, that can connect us also. Even if you live in a city, you'd be surprised about the beings and the wealth of critters that are around. They have figured it out because they align with the frequencies. Even if you connect with the birds, when you connect with the bird energies, even if you connect with the insects, even if you connect with the flow of the insects that are even ants, you know what? I would even go so far, even if you connect with the rodents, if you connect even with the cockroaches, all the beings are beings. Because there's an intelligence in life, and life brings. Even if you see a little plant that's sprouting to the concrete, has the power of nature coming through. The power of nature is something that's always present. In fact, if you cannot connect with anything in nature, find the nature inside yourself, because you're part of the nature. You and the nature are not disconnected. You're the same. You are nature. Your core energies are really nature. You are natural. I would almost say you're natural. Look at Anna. She's a natural. Look at Jody. She's a natural. And Saber. And even Carol is a natural. And so we are natural beings, and we are part of this nature. The moment we feel we are separated, that's the illusion. That's where we actually removing ourselves away. Just because we are in a city doesn't mean we are away from this planet. We're still right here on the planet.
I have a quick story.
I think we're going to have to take a short commercial break. Listeners, I'm sorry, but we'll be back here in a moment. Don't forget to check out Atana's online class at www.ataanamethod.com. Welcome back, listeners to Let's Talk Healing. Our program today is animals, how we can help them, how they can help us. I have here with me, of course, the creator of the Etana Method, Mr. Etana himself, our featured guest, Anna Saber, and Ms. Carol, who we're going to bring right on. Carol, you have a few words of wisdom with the animals for us.
Well, hello. Thank you for letting me share. Just this morning, I was sitting down to do my energy work, and a fly had come in my house. And it's, you know, spring here, and so the flies are huge now, right? And this fly was buzzing all around me. And I've learned, whenever something like that happens, to look up the metaphysical aspects of whatever animal being is showing itself. I mean, I was thinking of that when Etana was saying, you know, like in the city, if it's rodents or cockroaches or whatever, right? So this fly is buzzing around me. So I just get on my phone and I'm like, metaphysical aspects of the fly. And, you know, it's like good things are happening. The fly represents good changes coming through. And then as you read through, it says it's like about persistence, right? So like, go for it. Get what you want, even if you have to annoy other people. And so I find that it is true. Like, you can get a piece of wisdom from anything. I remember having an epiphany with mosquitoes a few years back because I was, you know, just getting all sorts of mosquito bites, and they were quite annoying. And I looked up metaphysical aspects of the mosquito, and it was like all about the divine feminine and creativity and bringing creative aspects into your life. And it just makes you pivot the whole issue, you know. All of a sudden you're no longer annoyed with these mosquito bites, but you're blessing them. And you're saying, wow, thank you for bringing creativity to me and bringing my awareness of creation and creativity. So
nice.
I think that's always like, that's something that I like to bring in, and I like to have my clients incorporate too, right? It's like, it's like Saber was saying, there's messages all the time, every day, if we are just aware of it and look into it and can receive the message.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm going to try to think about that, because in Australia, Carol, there's a lot of cockroaches down here. So I'm going to look up the metaphysical aspects of the cockroaches. Every time I go into my toaster, they seem to be crawling underneath. They're all around me.
And they're bringing you some sort of gift.
They're what?
They'll have some sort of gift for you.
Okay, I'll look into that. Etana, this is such a big topic. I'd love to just quickly hear from you about, you eat a lot of raw vegan food, uh-huh. You choose not to eat meat. I'd love to hear a little bit of a reason why you choose to do that as well. Is that in support of animals, or what is the reason for that practice?
Yes, mostly of support of animals, and also, it's healthier to eat lighter, but I don't condemn anybody who eats, you know, anything. You know, some people eat other people, some people eat animals, some people eat vegetables. it's all happening on the planet, and you know, I'm trying to be like not too judgmental, and but that brings me to a joke though. You know, there was a polar bear. And I heard this joke. This might be the right moment to insert it, because, you know, everybody needs to do what they need to do, what they feel they can do and they feel healthy about. And if they can align this with their morals and with their mindset, it's good. I can feel the energy. And when I eat animals, it makes me feel heavier, and I have to work the karma out for the animal. That's one of the reasons why it's lighter, not for me to have to eat it, you know, because I feel all the stages that the being went through. That's one of the reasons why it's more like a selfish thing, because I don't want to have to be traumatized by eating it. But let me get back to the joke. There's a polar bear and the polar bear father and the polar bear son, they're having a walk and they're out in the snow and it's cold. And the polar bear son says, "Daddy, do you think I'm a polar bear?" And the polar bear father says, "My son, you look like a polar bear. You walk like a polar bear. You might as well just be a polar bear." And the polar bear son says, "Are you sure?" And the father says, "My son, what is this all about? Your mother is a polar bear. Your father is a polar bear. Your grandmother and grandfather is a polar bear. Yes, you are a polar bear for sure." And then they walk a little bit further. And the polar bear son says, "Are you really sure?" And the polar bear father says, "My son, why are you asking me this silly question?" And he said, "Because I'm freezing."
Bravo, bravo.
Well done, Atada.
Yes, well done.
I feel the same way sometimes. Jody, our gracious host, I'd love to cut to you for a bit. We don't often hear from you because you bring us in and you roll us out. But, you know, do you have anything else to say about animals or nature?
I do. Thank you so much for giving me the time. I love being your gracious host, and I thank so much of Atana and his work. This program to me is a wonderful subject. I love animals. I feel one with animals. And during a time which I needed them the most, they were able to help me. To all the mothers out there, I had my second child. And during this time, I wanted to have my child at home. I didn't want to have him in a hospital or anywhere else. But unfortunately, circumstances made it where I had to have him in a hospital so that he could be airlifted. And so when we had got back at the house, I had just felt so negative and just down and out on myself. And I just felt like my mother energy had left. I didn't feel like I had the wherewithal to do the things that I needed. And I've been taking care of these animals for a period of time since I had moved to this particular area. And two of the cats had kittens while I was gone. So I come back, and to my surprise, they've had their kittens. And I was just astounded to see how much these two mothers differed. And yet one mother, how much she had prepared for her child. Like, as soon as it started raining, she had already had shelter for her kittens. I mean, this mother's milking 9 kittens at one time. She's out at night, you know, gathering food. And it's just amazing to see how much work these kittens had done. Well, the other kitten had basically been taken care of by humans. So the human put it in a crate. They put a blanket on top of it and they brought it the food and the water. Well, about 2 or 3 weeks later, all of the kittens who was cared for, they had all died, unfortunately. Oh. But the mother who was taking care of her kittens and would not allow human interaction, her kittens were all alive. And I was thinking to myself, you know, how does that happen? Well, the kitten who had not had the human interaction, she was able to teach her kittens how to not cross the road because of the cars and little things that cats teach their kittens. And it taught me, you know, the intervention, because I wanted to give these kittens food and to feed them and things like that. But this cat would not let me touch her kittens. So, and it just reminded me of how much I had felt when I went to the hospital and had my baby and had the intervention of the nurses and the doctors, which, you know, they were trying their best. But in reality, it made me feel like my intuition of how to care for my child was ripped out of me and stomped down and made me question myself. And here I was reminded again by nature how much we know without ever having a child before, even if, you know, we have one or two child, every child is different, how much we have instinctively inside of us to prepare for our children and to nourish our children and to raise our children without any medical intervention. And I just thought, wow, what a great story that nature tells us when we were sitting there right in front of them and wanting to help them, how much they know how to care for, and reminds us how much we can care for our children, ourselves, without any intervention. Not saying you don't go to the doctors or whatnot, but it made me feel so much better knowing that, you know, yes, I was right. Yes, I was on path that I thought was the best for my child. So nature just has its way of coming about and reminding us of things that we need at that time. And it just shows us how in tune animals are with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, we're the only creature that has doctors. Hey, Tana.
Yeah.
We're the only creatures of created doctors.
Yeah, right.
The cows birth themselves out in the field, hey?
Amazing. Right. All right, everybody. That is amazing.
That's a beautiful story.
Thank you for letting me share.
You know, it reminds me of when I was driving on a road, and I stopped the car on the right side because there was a turtle trying to cross the road, and it was like a mountain path. And then I stopped the car and on the right side, and I tried to save the turtle, and there were a tank truck coming, you know, like a gasoline truck, you know, the big ones. And the truck really had to almost drive around me, and it creates almost like an accident for this big gasoline truck. That, can you imagine? I could have saved the turtle, and I could have like poisoned the whole environment, you know? And so it would really put it in perspective in what is it that you can really do, and can you really imagine and measure the whole extent of your actions and the cause and the action that is related to it, you know? And it made me really seeing much more of the situation than sometimes we just feel compelled we want to do something because we want to save something, but sometimes it's the perfect time in nature for beings to literally to pass, because then the vultures come and the vultures eat from it, you know? And so it's kind of like really tough to see the process of nature as its own process and as an intact process without wanting constantly to interfere. What I'm also seeing is when nature is happening, it is happening with such a great wisdom, and even though sometimes it looks cruel from our perspective, it's a natural process. It becomes cruel when humans interfere and create something for their own purpose without letting nature really participate, when we take out of nature without returning. And I think that's something that we have to consider as humanity, that we, when we take something out of the ocean, that we replenish it with something else instead of just kind of just taking and wondering why the ocean's going to be empty one day.
Very good point. Very good point. I think we're nearly coming to the end here, but, you know, Carol, thanks so much for joining us. I feel like we could talk to you more, and maybe we'll have to have you back on another session so we can hear
Let's
from
have
you
it on next week. Because that's a good idea.
That'd yeah, be delightful. Because I know that you've got a lot to share, Carol, as well.
Well, thank you. I would look forward to it.
Yeah. Jody, is that
say goodbye before we? I'm going to go ahead and thank our listeners. Is Atana? Would you like to say goodbye to our listeners before we close out the program?
Yes. Our listeners, we love you, we love you, and we love you, and we actually love you, because you're part of this all oneness, and you are part with us here on this planet at this time, and we are grateful that you can share your time with us and that we're sharing our time with you. We're sending blessings, we're sending love, we're sending support and healing towards you as well as the animal places, and we are grateful for every being that's tuning in. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in, being present, and most importantly, for your listening support. You've been listening to Let's Talk Healing. We have Anna Saber and Carol with us today as our special guests. I'm Jody Lynn, your host. Again, thank you, and tune in next week. Go to www.atwanamethod.com to hear more of Tana. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, everybody.
Oh, my God.